Good evening, everyone. May I give you a very warm welcome to our annual choral service. The choir have been practicing for the past several weeks, and they've been rehearsing their pieces with gusto, and Nadine has whipped them into shape. Well, graciously and lovingly whipped them into shape. And I can thank you. Can I thank you on behalf of the choir? Can I thank you on behalf of all present for taking the time, many of you out of very busy schedules, to rehearse and to sing for us this evening. After the service, refreshments will be served, so please stay behind afterwards and avail yourselves of those refreshments. Thank you to Maria for coordinating the refreshments for us this evening. You should have an order of service. Everything will follow as on the sheet, so I won't be jumping up and down every 2 seconds saying who comes next. Those who are doing readings, you know when you're up, so just come on up and do your readings at the appropriate point. On the back of your service sheet, the times of our Christmas services. If you don't have a regular place of worship and would like to come along, love to see you. So that's just to draw your attention to that. I'm usually very cautious about singling people out for an especially warm welcome. I don't like to unduly embarrass anyone. However, I would especially like to welcome this evening Godric Timney, parish priest from St. Anne's, our Roman Catholic neighbours just down the road. And it's really lovely to see you this evening. This is your first visit to Lawton Park Baptist Church. Hopefully it won't be your last. And please give Godric a good welcome, warm welcome afterwards. Now, we're going to sing Once in Royal David City. In your choral books, it's number 26. The numbers are to your left. So number 26 will stand to sing. Then I'll pray. Just take your seats after we sing 26. I'll pray, and then it's over to the choir in the order of service.
Child. its pattern, day by day, like a sea group.
He was with a weak and helpless, his answers like a sea group. And he faileth for our sadness, and he shareth in our gladness. And our eyes at last shall see him through his own redeeming love. For that child so dear and gentle is our Lord in heaven above, and he leads his children on to the place where he is gone.
Not in that poor lowly stable with the oxen standing by, we shall see him, but in heaven, set at God's right hand on high, where like stars his children crown, all in white shall wait around. Amen. Please be seated. And let us pray. Eternal God, blessed Heavenly Father, precious Son, eternal Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are not hidden away in some remote place. You're not a God who is distant. You are Emmanuel, God with us. You're God with us in the person of your Son, the great I Am, the Almighty, the Ancient of Days, Lord of Hosts, King of Kings. How we rejoice that you came to us. You who inhabit eternity came and dwelt with us. And our Heavenly Father, as we think and reflect upon these very familiar truths this evening, may the wonder and the awe of what we are singing about and celebrating not be lost on us. May familiar carols and readings that come to our souls, may they come with a freshness that it will take our breath away. As we read your word, as we hear it read, help us to see Jesus, who is the fountain of life. May we be taken up with him who loved us and give himself for us. Instill within us a sense of reverence and awe. Show us the realities of the unseen world, the glories of heaven, that the passing things of this world may become dim. We ask, O God, that you would bless the choir, bless their labors of love over these past several weeks as they have met and rehearsed these pieces. Bless the singing of the congregational praise. Lord, may this night be a night that is given over to you, the living God. Hear us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 So our first reading today is going to be taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 2, 6, and 7. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice, from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this.
Thank you.
Our second reading this evening is taken from Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 to 4, 6 to 9, with the title, "The Peace That Christ Will Bring is Foreshown." "There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea."
Bless you, Mary, gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. The third reading is taken from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 23, where Matthew tells of the birth of Jesus. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will be with child, and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us.
Fourth reading this evening is taken from the New Testament, the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 2, verse 8 to 16. The shepherds go to the manger. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Amen.
Fifth reading this evening will be taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 2, from verse 1 to 11, and it is titled Wise Men from the East. Matthew, chapter 2, verse 1 to 11. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the East came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his stars in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he heard, when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet: But you, Bethlehem in the land of Judea, are not the least among the rulers of Judea, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also." When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with his mother Mary, and fell down and worshipped him. And they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
The sixth reading is found in the Gospel of John, the first chapter. And here John unfolds the great mystery of the Incarnation. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
As the Father's heart.
Thank you for those lovely pieces that centered our thoughts on the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. They'll be doing all this again on Sunday afternoon over in Parbold at their service at 3 o'clock. Joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. Who is this King that we've been thinking about this evening? To answer that, I just want to draw upon some verses of Scripture, some hymns, carols, poems that have been written about this wonderful person that we've been singing about this evening. May God graciously touch every heart as we consider the King of Kings. You know, the Old Testament tells us that he is altogether lovely. He was born some 2,000 years ago, born of the Blessed Virgin, yet he lived before he was born. He was rich before he was born, yet he became poor after he was born. The Scriptures foretold his birth hundreds, thousands of years before he was born. They told when he would be born. They told where he would be born. They told how he would be born. And they told why he would be born. The infinite became the infant. He who put the fiery stars and the galaxies in space put himself into the arms of a young Jewish maiden. He was formed in her womb. He came out of eternity into time, out of heaven into earth, out of ivory palaces into a stable, out of a sinless world into a sinful world, out of a tearless world into a world of tears. The Creator became the Savior. The Son of God became the Son of Man. He became on earth what he had never been in heaven. He took upon himself flesh and blood. You know, friends, when he was born, midnight darkness became midday light. And when he died, midday light became midday night. He was born in poverty, raised in obscurity. He humbled himself in his birth, in his life, and in his death. He lived to enrich others. And in his birth, he was an exception. In his life, he was an example. In his death, he was a sacrifice. In his resurrection, he was a conqueror. In his ascension, he was a king. In his intercession, he is the great high priest. In infancy, he startled a king. In boyhood, he puzzled doctors. In manhood, he healed without medicine. He never walked on a carpet. But friends, this king walked on the sea. The winds and the waves obeyed his voice. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He bore the scorn of men who said, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" He had nowhere to lay his head. He was in the wilderness without food, at Sychar's well without water, in life without a penny, in Pilate's judgment hall without a friend. Born in another man's stable, rode on another man's donkey, crossed the lake in another man's boat, buried in another man's tomb. He was sold for 30 pieces of silver, the price of a slave. At the close of day, the people went to their homes. He went up onto a mountain to pray. He slept under the open sky. The birds and the beasts were his companions. They heard him speak to his heavenly Father. He came down early in the morning to begin a new day in the service of others. You know, he never ever had to apologize. He never ever spoke an unkind word. He loved little children. He welcomed them and took them in his arms. He went about doing good. He wept, and yet he healed many a broken heart. He fed the multitude with a boy's lunch. He touched the leper and made him whole. He gave sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, speech to the dumb. You know, he stopped a funeral procession and he raised a young man to life and gave him back to his widowed mother. He lived a busy life, and yet, friends, he was never too busy to help someone in need. He was God's only son, yet he was a missionary. He chose 12 men to be with him, and after his resurrection, he sent them out to preach the gospel. Go ye into the whole world and preach the gospel, making disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And they were to begin at Jerusalem. They were to begin in that very place where they crucified him. Friends, what grace, what mercy, what love divine. You know, before he died, he gave his widowed mother over to John. He gave pardon to a thief. He gave his body to the cross. He gave peace to his own. He gave his spirit to God. When he willed, he died. And friends, do you realize that? When he willed, he died. He died in crucifixion, not off crucifixion. He was the worship Christ of Bethlehem, the wearied Christ of Sychar's well, the weeping Christ of Bethany, the willing Christ of Gethsemane, the wounded Christ of Calvary. He will be forever the worthy Christ of eternity. You know, friends, never man spake like this man. Never man stooped like this man. Never man suffered like this man. Never man saved like this man. And friends, no man satisfies like this man. He is approved by God, acknowledged by angels, adored by saints, feared by demons. He is a living Savior. He is a loving Savior. He is an everlasting Savior. He is a life-giving Savior. Two testaments are needed to explain him. Two natures are needed to express him. Two worlds are needed to enjoy him. He is the theme of innumerable sermons by innumerable preachers in innumerable places, and the half hasn't yet been told. He is the theme of innumerable books in innumerable libraries, and the half has not yet been written. He is the loveliest, purest, holiest man who ever lived. Hear heaven's testimony of him. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. You listen to him. Hear hell's testimony of him. He is the Holy One of God. Hear humanity's testimony of him. Pilate said, I find no fault in him. Pilate's wife said, have nothing to do with that just man. The centurion at the cross said, surely this is the Son of God. The dying thief said, this man has done nothing amiss. Judas said, I have betrayed innocent blood. The apostle Paul said he knew no sin. The apostle Peter said he did no sin. And the apostle John says, in him is no sin. The writer to the Hebrews says he is holy, harmless, and undefiled. Holy Godward, harmless manward, undefiled sinward. And friends, this Saviour that we've been singing about tonight, this King that we've been singing about tonight, he was born to die. With the cross always before him, he set his face steadfast toward Jerusalem, and from that trek he didn't turn back. And somewhere about the centre of the earth, the centre person of the Godhead died on the centre cross, giving his blood a ransom for many. Because friends, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Because of him, heaven will never be empty. And because of him, hell will never be full. He is light for my darkness. He is bread for my hunger. He is water for my thirst. He is strength for my weakness. He is life for my death. He never gives me up. He never lets me down. He has promised never to leave me nor forsake me. He is all that he said he was. He is ever living. He is ever loving. He is everlasting. And language can never exaggerate him. And he sacrificed for us. He became all that God must judge, so that in him we become all that God cannot judge. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. He is the eye of God seeing, the ear of God hearing, the hand of God guiding, the feet of God walking. He is the mind of God thinking. He is the heart of God throbbing. He is God over all, blessed forever. And heaven will ring of his praise for all eternity. And friends, this King that we've been singing about tonight, celebrating his first coming, this King is coming again. And what a moment that will be when Jesus Christ returns and all those blood-bought children of his people go marching in. For those in Christ, it will be a day without sunset. For those without Christ who have never repented of their sins, it will be a night without dawn. Jesus Christ shall return triumphant, King of kings and Lord of lords. And of his kingdom, there will be no end. Will you be a resident of that sinless, tearless city? That land of endless delight, where there's no more doctors' surgeries, no more health clinics, no more old people's homes, no more funeral parlors, no more cemeteries, no more goodbyes. Friends, if you would be part of that sinless city, then you must pour contempt on all your pride. See, friends, there's nothing we can do that can earn heaven. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Naked, nothing to commend myself to God. Naked, I come to thee for dress. Helpless, I look to thee for grace. Foul, yes, friends, foul from the top of my head to the sole of my foot. No soundness in me. Foul I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Saviour, or I die. You see, friends, without Christ, there is no hope. He has opened up the way back to God. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Peter was present when he said that. And in the Acts of the Apostles, when Peter stood before the Sanhedrin, he said, you know, boys, there is neither salvation in any other name given among men whereby we must be saved other than the name of Jesus. And what does that name Jesus mean? Savior. That's why he came, friends. He He came to save us. Joy to the world. The King has come. He is Christ. He is the Christ of God. He is altogether lovely. I pray that you would embrace him as your Savior if you haven't already done so. May the Lord bless these few faltering words to your hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Number 16. Hark, the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn King. We'll remain standing after we sing this for the prayer and benediction. Please don't rush off afterwards. Please stay behind for refreshments. Number 16. And thank you that you were in Christ reconciling the world to yourself. You did not impute our trespasses to us, even though we were guilty. And now you have committed to us the word of reconciliation. We give all honor to you, our great God, that when the fullness of time had come, you sent forth your Son, born of a woman, born under the law, that he might redeem those that were condemned by the law. We praise you that the eternal word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Undeniably great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. We bless you that he was born of a virgin and came into this world that he might bear witness to the truth. We thank you that the Son of God came into this world to seek and to save the lost. He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Lord God Almighty, we thank you that in Christ the enslaved find redemption and the guilty pardon. That in Christ there is everlasting strength for the weak, unsearchable riches for the needy, treasures of wisdom and knowledge for the ignorant, fullness for the empty. And Lord, we long to see the gospel spread to the furthest, most parts of this earth, places that are plunged into warfare. We pray that the message of the Prince of Peace would come to those areas, that the land would lay down with the Lamb. Lord, we thank you for this night. Pray that you would bless the refreshments that are about to be served to our bodies. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.